seventh chapter of the book of Acts. Of the Apostle Paul and his dangerous and perilous sea voyage towards Rome. Many things, many texts in this particular chapter that would be the basis of what I feel would be good preaching. Sometimes what I think is good preaching, not always good preaching to others, but it seems to me like it would be. I'll read a portion of this and kind of settle on the 29th verse as a basis for a few remarks here this evening. It says that the 15th verse, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, straight sail, and so were driven. We being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. I thought that would be a good text there. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. That's the, I believe, the condition that every man ought to be in one time in his life, when all hope that he'd ever be saved is taken away from him. He's stripped of everything that he could lean upon, everything taken away, and is left there at the mercy of God. If we ever get in that condition, why, we'll remember the time that we was without Christ, and then we'll remember the time when God give us hope in the mercy of God in the face of Christ. Anyhow, it says, and after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them, and he said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, to have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Thought that's a good text. Whose I am and whom I serve. Paul said, I belong to him, and belonging to him constrains me to serve him. Anyhow, the angel said, Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. That is, God's able to perform that which he promised. No doubt in Paul's mind about that. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. When the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, cast 4 anchors out of the stern and prayed for the day, wished for the day. Now, in this 29th verse, they have come to the place where they have cast out their sounding gear or their line, which would indicate the depth of the water at this particular place. And the first casting out of the line that would indicate the depth said 20 fathoms. And they came a little further and they cast the thing out again. It said 15 fathoms. So now they were in danger of being washed upon these rocks. And if that would be so, it would probably tear the bottom out of the ship and they would be utterly consumed by the storm, by the water. Of course, you and I, looking at it now, we know that that wouldn't come to pass because the angel of God already told Paul, said, "Be of good cheer," said, "I've given all these to you, and there'll be no loss save the ship." But anyhow, of course, this indicates and certainly teaches us of human responsibility in light of the sovereignty of God. Now, they were responsible. Paul could have said, "Well, God has already told me here that everyone on the ship is going to be saved. And so, don't worry about the rocks and the shoals out there ahead of us. We're going to be all right." But that wasn't the case. They threw out 4 anchors to stop the ship in its tracks, to keep the ship from dragging on the rocks, and the bottom being tore out of the ship and them being consumed by this terrible storm. So it says, they cast out 4 anchors. 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Now, I've talked about this before, but I've thought about this 4 anchors, and I think that there's an anchor that needs to be cast out by you and I in order that our life might be on an even keel and that we might not be consumed by the easy believism of our day, the socializing Christianity of our day, the looseness and immorality of so-called Christianity of our day, this generation. We need to have an anchor. We need to have an anchor that'll hold, something that'll hold. And as I was thinking about this, I thought that the best anchor that a man could cast out would be the anchor of redemption. The anchor of redemption, which is all of grace. Now, you know, if you are a recipient of the Lord Jesus, that is, if God hath been made unto you wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and so forth, it was not because of something good that God saw in you. I'm talking about redemption, which is all of grace, and the anchor that's cast out in order that we might not drift, that we might be solid, we might be consistent. We might continue on day in and day out. I think that's the problem with a lot of people that they make an empty profession. Is what it is? They've been emotionally disturbed by the threat of hell's fire and brimstone, or maybe the loss of a member of their family, or maybe what they would determine as an accident in their family, and they've made a profession of religion. Hastily, they have made a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, but their lives after this profession is a scatter and miss. It's a hop, skip, and a jump. It's here today and gone tomorrow. It's these mushroom Christians that rise up overnight and then disappear. And there's no consistency in their profession. They you rarely see them. they get real excited if someone dies and they want you to be there. They want you to be there at the funeral. They want the preacher to be there. They'll call him up and want to know why you're not there. Or they'll call the deacons up or the sisters and want to know why you're not there. Some little, they have appendicitis operation or a tonsillectomy. They want to know why you're not in the hospital. But they're never in their seat. They're never in their pew. They're not there when you can, when you need them, when you depend upon them. They're never to be found. Well, I think that they haven't got this anchor that I'm talking about. They haven't got the anchor of redemption, which is all of grace. Because if they had the anchor of redemption, which is all of grace, there'd be some consistency in their lives. Now, I want you to understand, and I think you do understand this for the most part. Most of you here, I think, understand this. If you don't, dwell upon it. Think about it. Pray about it. You are not the recipient of the favor and the mercy of God in the person of Jesus Christ because God saw something good in you. See? He never saw anything good in you. There never was any good in you. There's not any good in you now, and there never will be any good in your flesh. Do you believe that? You're not the recipient of the favor of God because God saw something good in you. Not now, not tomorrow, not if you live to be 100 years old. There'll never be any good in your flesh that will be used of God to commend you to God. You see? The anchor that will hold in the storms of life will be that anchor of redemption. The anchor all of the grace of God. Now, you are not one of the recipients of the favor of God because of something God saw that you would do. You see, if you were left to your own will, you would have continued in darkness unto this day, and even now, if left to yourself, would depart from the living God. So, you're not a recipient of the favor of God because of something God saw that you would do. It's no surprise to me when professors of faith fail and fall. It's rather a miracle of the grace of God that any should stand. O Lord, with such a heart as mine, unless you hold me fast, I feel I must decline and prove like them at last. We're dangerous. We're dangerous people. Dangerous. If it was left to ourselves, no telling what we would do. All right. Another thing we need to learn in regard to this redemption, which is all of grace. You are not one of the favorites of God because God needed you. I told you that this morning in a roundabout way, that God is essentially blessed and happy in Himself, and He does not need us in order to add to His happiness or add to His glory. He doesn't need us. He's essentially self-existent and self-sufficient and eternally blessed and happy in Himself. Absolutely 100% independent. Absolutely independent. He's a law unto Himself. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He does what He wants to do when He wants to do it, to whom He wants to do it to, and woe be unto the rebel that rebels against His sovereign. You're not one of God's favorites because God needed you. And I get kind of upset sometimes and kind of get disturbed when we leave the impression with anybody, regardless of who it is, when we leave this impression that God or the kingdom of God or the church of the God or the church of the Lord Jesus Christ can profit in any way from my presence, from my influence, or for my gifts. We are receivers, we are beggars, and we are bankrupt sinners, and God doesn't need us. We haven't got anything. that we did not receive from Him. I read that to you here not so long ago in the book of 1 Corinthians, there where it says, "What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Anything?" You see, it's by the grace of God that you are what you are. Paul said, "It's the grace of God that I am what I am." It was the grace of God that set you apart in that covenant of mercies. It was the grace of God that made you the object of His distinguishing or differing love. It was His grace that laid hold of you and laid hold of me while we were in the pit and brought us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you this, if it be my lot, and if it be your lot to continue in the faith, to grow in faith, to grow in the love of God that was shed abroad in our hearts, to die in hope and to be resurrected in glory, it'll be by the grace of God. Stanza of an old hymn says, "Here I raise mine Ebenezer, and hither by thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home." It's all of grace, brethren. Redemption's all of grace. That's the anchor. That's the anchor that needs to be cast out over the stern of the ship in order to keep the ship from moving with the tide, moving with the storm, and being demolished there and consumed on the rocks. You just look at yourself as you really are. Doesn't your conscience rebuke you? Doesn't your conscience, you're by yourself and you're meditating and reflecting upon yourself, upon your attitudes, upon your thoughts, upon this inward man, upon the law of God and your attitude towards it, your attitude towards the Lord Jesus Christ? Doesn't your conscience point its finger at you and rebuke you? Certainly it does. Does not your thousands and thousands of wanderings stand before you and tell you that you're unworthy to be called Son of God? Certainly it does. Now, if God has made you anything, are you not taught that it was His free, sovereign grace that made you to differ? Now, you have a seat in heaven. I told you here not so long ago, or read to you from the book of, where was it? 1 Peter, where it tells us about we have a place guaranteed in glory, reserved in heaven for you. Reserved. Now, if you be the recipient of the favor of God, if you are one of God's chosen, the elect of God, chosen by God in Christ from the foundation of the world, then you have a seat in heaven. And a seat in heaven one day will be realized in reality, and it'll actually be yours, a place in glory. Jesus taught that in the 14th chapter of the book of John. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. It'll be a prepared place. I prepared for you." But listen, if that's so, it'll be because and by and through the grace of God. It'll not be because God needed you. Not be because God had to have you. It'll be by the grace of God. You see, a seat in heaven shall be yours one day, but a chain of hell would be yours right now if the grace of God had not intervened. The chain of hell would have been yoked around your throat, and you would have been held incarcerated by the devil and his demons unto that day. If the grace of God had not intervened and broken the chain and freed you by the substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, a chain in hell would be yours if the grace of God had not changed you. We're debtors, aren't we? That's the anchor, you see. Redemption. It's all of grace. You can sing of His love and His mercy from these hymnals that we use. You can sing there. with a heart filled with love and praise and satisfaction and thanksgiving unto the God of glory. You can do that, and you do that. But listen, did you know that blasphemy and cursing and bitterness would have been on your lips if His grace had not changed you? There's not a crime. And I think of the crime. You think of the fellow up there in Chicago that we mentioned the other day that enticed young children into his home and abused them. And was, I guess, I'm sure, guilty of killing over 30 children, burying them under his own house. Isn't that terrible? You think that's a terrible crime. Terrible crime. It's so terrible that men don't even want to talk about it. So terrible. It's not talked about in public, the crime that man committed. But listen, there's not a crime beyond our reach if he had left us to ourselves. Did you know that? Not one single solitary crime beyond the reach of the depraved heart of a human being if God would leave him to himself and leave him satisfy the desires of his lustful nature. He'd do anything and everything. That's right. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Daily I'm constrained to thee. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. That anchor that I'm talking all of grace, redemption. Let me say a few more things in regard to this, and then I'll let you go. Paul said in that 29th verse, look at that again. He says, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rock, cast out four anchors. All of grace. That's the anchor that'll hold you. That'll keep you in its place. What do you know about it? Do you know that salvation is a work which God does in and for the sinner? Now listen, that may be sound trite to you and elementary, but listen. Salvation is a work which God does in and for the sinner, not something the sinner does for God. When you talk about redemption and salvation by grace and all of grace, you've got to understand it's not something that you do for God. It's something that God does in and for you, Himself. God does it, or did it, in its origination. It originated in eternity past, in the mind of God, somewhere in eternity past, before the world ever was. I know how long ago it's been in that respect. I can't tell you the days or the years or the months or even the moons and the seasons, but I can tell you that God chose His people in Christ, the foundation of the world, before God laid the foundation for this world, before the pillars were set, before anything that was, that is, God chose unto Himself. That's the origination, the origin of our salvation. So our salvation is not something that the sinner does for God. It's something that that God does in and for that poor sinner. It's all of grace, and that's the anchor that'll hold you. Then there's the execution of that. The execution of that salvation which God chose which is in Christ in substitution. That's an anchor that'll hold you. It's the substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus being made sin for us. Does not the fifth chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians say, for Him who knew no sin became sin in our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He knew no sin. He knew no sin. He went to the cross a pure and spotless, without blemish. Not a trace or taint of sin in his nature. Only sin he was involved with was your sin and my sin, and it was on him that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's the execution. And then the application of it is the Holy Spirit of God brings the good news of the gospel to our broken and weary hearts and to our wounded conscience. The Holy Spirit brings the story, the good news, that Christ died for sinners and paid their debt, sets them free, gives them hope of eternal life in Christ Jesus. That's the good news. That's the application of that. He applies it to you. He applies it to you. By the only the Holy Spirit can apply that to a man's heart. All right. Another thing I think we need to know about this anchor that holds within the veil, which is redemption, all of grace, that salvation is completely in and through the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our sin offering and our sacrifice and our mediator. There is one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. He ever lives. God hath highly exalted him and given him a place, given him a name which is above every name. He's seated on the right hand of God. We make him nothing. God made him. God made his Christ King. God made his Christ Lord. He's our mediator. He's our high priest. He's our prophet. He's our priest. And he's our king. Our mediator. He's our priest. He intercedes for the people of God. He ever lives to make intercession for us. So salvation is completely in and through the person and the work of this mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Another thing I want you to know, which has to do with this anchor, is that salvation, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ, now is not a temporary experience. It's not temporary, but it's permanent. What God does, He does forever. Boy, that'll hold you. If there's nothing else that I've said tonight that'll do your heart good, that'll do your heart good. If you're the recipient of the favor of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was not a temporary thing. It was a permanent thing. God did a permanent... God does not do anything temporary. He does not do anything piecemeal or by chance. God does things permanent. And when He spoke peace to your heart in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was a permanent work. Permanent work. God will keep you through hell and high water, through all your wanderings and inconsistencies, through all your darkness and through all your unbelief and through all your doubts and anxieties. God will keep you until the end. Why? Because He hath done a permanent work, not a temporary work, permanent work, you see. In doing this, it reflects to His praise and to His eternal glory. He said, I believe, in that 17th chapter of the book of John, He said, of all which He, that's God, of all which He hath given me, I have lost nothing. I haven't lost a one of them. All those that the Father give me, I've kept them. I've kept them. I haven't lost any of them. No empty seats in glory. Not being empty seats in heaven. Everyone who's a divine favorite of God, who the mercy of God has been exercised and applied to their hearts, they've tasted the sweetness of the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll not be disappointed. They'll not be those in heaven that'll be disappointed. But there's a seat there reserved for you, you see. All which He hath given me, I haven't lost any of them. Then lastly, this is important, I think. About every time I preach, I include what I'm preaching right now. I include all these things. I don't think there's a time when I preach that I don't include this. I don't think that you can preach unless you include this. I think any time you preach and what I've said tonight's not included, you haven't preached salvation by grace. You might preach about it, but you haven't preached it. You might preach about Jesus Christ, but you haven't preached Christ. Preach the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation by grace and redemption as the anchor for the soul that'll keep a man. A man's got to say this. He's got to say that everything that God does, He does on purpose. Everything that God does, He does on purpose. When He saved you, let me ask you this. When He saved you, was it an accident or did He do it on purpose? When He saved you, was it an accident or did God do it on purpose? You've got to admit that God did it on purpose. God did it on purpose. No accidents but God. Salvation's by grace, not by accident. You see, everything that God does, He does on purpose. There's no accidents with God. And this is the foundation of our comfort, our assurance, and our desire. And this is the anchor of our soul. He's the path. The Lord Jesus. He's the path. If any be misled, He's the robe. If any naked be, if any be hungry, He is bread. If any be enslaved, He's free. If any be but weak, how strong is He? To blind men sight, to needy wealth, to dead men life, and to sick men health. You see, if Jesus Christ is not valued above all, He's not valued at all. So Mr. Augustine said. That's the anchor for the soul. That's the anchor that we need to have cast out and anchored within the veil. And that'll hold us. That'll hold us. Salvation is by the grace of God. Redemption is all of God. And it's His business to keep us. And if He doesn't, it'll reflect on His honor. And of course, I'm just saying that when I say if He doesn't. There's no doubt. I'm like Paul there. You know, Paul said, "Why, sirs, I believe God. I believe God. Don't you? I believe God. I believe that He'll do what He said He does. Or said He promised. He'll perform that which He promised." Listen. Oh, that was a bad time out there. Neither the sun nor the stars appeared in many days. There was no small tempest upon us. It was a big storm. One, a small one. One, just a little squall. It was a big one. All hope was taken away. We should be saved. We didn't have any hope. Everything was so bad, we didn't have any hope. But all Paul said to in the 25th verse after the God spoke to him, Paul said, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God, and it shall be even as it was told me." I believe Him tonight. It'll be even as it's told me. The salvation's all of grace. It's all of God. And it's His business to get me and to get you from earth to eternal glory. And He'll not fail. For whatever God does, He doesn't do it temporary. He does it permanent. And whatever God does, He does it on purpose. My heart rejoices this evening. But that's my Lord. That's my Savior. He does things on purpose. That anchor will hold you. That'll help you. The Lord bless these remarks.